WFORadio.com presents NHRA Nitro.
I'm Joe Costello, and this is WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. A weekly look inside the baddest motorsport in the world, NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing.
It's side by side, it's competition, and it's who wins, and then the chair of the crowd.
Join me as we go WFO with the stars of drag racing.
Hey, I'm Bob Tasca.
I'm Tony Schumacher.
Hey, you're with Matt Hagen.
Hey, this is Ron Capp, Matt Hagen's personal friend. You're on WFO.
NHRA track announcer Alan Reinhardt stops by each week to break down each race and answer your email questions.
I mean, the Nitro cars put on a tremendous show. They're otherworldly machines. But for people that are really interested in cars, I mean, you wander through the Superstock pits, and if you're wondering why you don't see 69 Camaros running around on the street anymore, it's because they're all out there in the stock and Superstock pits.
Racing fans from around the globe, it's time to go WFO with Joe Costello.
WFO Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. This time, following up the Kansas Nationals in Topeka, Kansas. What an event. And on this show, you're going to hear from the winners. Sean Langdon, Top Fuel winner, takes down the Sarge in the final round. We're going to ask him all about it right here on this show. Also on this show, back-to-back winner. He won in Atlanta, goes out to Topeka, wins there too. Johnny Gray is back. We're going to talk with Johnny about his final round victory over Robert Height and everything that occurred over the course of the weekend. And also on the show, Johnny's crew chief, Rob Wendland. Got Rob on the phone to get the crew chiefing perspective on this back-to-back victory for Johnny Gray in that Pitch Energy Dodge Funny Car. Also on the show, 500 Pro Stock round wins, first win of the season, Jeg Coughlin Jr., one of the best drivers of all time. Well, you're going to hear him right here on this show. It's going to be massive. It's going to be huge. Tweet your friends. Get on Facebook. Post. Retweet. Do what you got to do. Download that WFO Radio app so you can listen mobily, because we've got it all for you. Now, first, we have a good time on the show, but I do want to slow it down for a moment and say that our thoughts are going out to everyone affected by the Oklahoma City tornado. I, being from the coast, having dealt with hurricanes, know a little bit about this, but what I experienced this past weekend in Topeka, dealing with the tornado watch conditions and watching the skies and hearing the news about what was going on, only to see the total devastation on the news once I returned home. Frankly, there's nothing I can say that could truly express how deep the feeling of remorse that there is. I cannot believe what I witnessed, what I saw on the news. So to our listeners, to everyone who is there, who is affected, who is in the area, our deepest thoughts going out to you and your families, to everyone there who are just humanity. My goodness, I can't even imagine what that would be like. But on the show, we try to have a good time and focus on the weekend that was, and we absolutely will continue to do that, if as anything else, a form of escape from what has happened. And on that note, joining the show, as he does each week to start us all off, the NHRA's Alan Reinhardt. Alan, welcome.
I second your thoughts and your words about Oklahoma. I was actually out last night. It was my birthday. I was out celebrating a little bit, and didn't see any of the pictures, any of the stuff until this morning when I got online and started looking at the news. And I absolutely second you sending all the good wishes and thoughts and prayers that way. That's just amazing that much destruction just literally comes out of the sky.
Yes, and you can hear me kind of stumbling over it because it's just such a the word devastation I have never heard so many times in so little time, but it is the only real word that truly accurately describes what we are seeing. Total devastation. And we had a great weekend at the racetrack, but I know a lot of those people perhaps came to the race, and it's just horrific.
Well, there are a lot of racers that are located down in Oklahoma. Of course, Mike Edwards on the pro side is probably the best known, but you know, a lot of the A-fuel cars come from down in that part of the area, and Mike just recently was down in Noble, Oklahoma, doing a track visit for the ESPN Sportsman Spotlight stuff, and it's a real hotbed of racing activity. So, you know, we definitely feel a little bit of a personal connection. Having done this job for as long as I have, you get to know people all over the country. And, you know, there was certainly a time when, you know, if I saw something about, a tidal wave in Maine, it's almost like an obscure thought, but having now been to Maine and knowing people that are there, you know, kind of feel like you have a little bit more of a personal connection. But just, you know, it's awful. So, you know, good thoughts, good prayers. And one thing I know is that, you know, the people of Oklahoma will pull together, they will get through this, they will rebuild, and they will continue on.
Absolutely. And that is all they can do, and we are with them. That is one great thing about this great United States of America, is that more often than not, we all pull together and help each other in the worst possible situations. And it does make us all proud. But yet and still, those people have got tough time in front of them. Now, that having been said, we do hear from the winners on these winners' editions of WFO Radio, and we do plan to do that, of course. And we've got Sean Langdon, Johnny Gray, Rob Wendland going to join in, and Jed Coughlin Jr. Alan, this was a pretty darn good event. Lots of great performances, and everyone had very positive things to say about the track surface.
Well, the Topeka surface has been great for years. There's no question. And, you know, having cloud cover most of the weekend, even though the threat of some storms may have scared some of the fans away, but the cloud cover over the track all weekend made it very good. I talked to one of the track specialists that works for Don Schumacher, and he said when you come to Topeka, the track just plays 20 degrees cooler. If the track temp is 110, it acts like a 90-degree track, and that's something that you just have to compensate for. But, no, that surface has been great, and the cloud cover certainly helped, and the performances were amazing. It was interesting. There were a couple of teams that really looked like they turned a corner, you know, after the last 3 or 4 or 5 weeks. So it'll be interesting to see going down the road, you know, who can keep the momentum up.
That's what it's all about. Let's jump into the Top Fuel Eliminator, where Sean Langdon was really strong all weekend long. I believe 7 runs in the 70s, number one qualifier, and just marched through the field. No easy races. Even Pat Dakin in the first round threw up his best elapsed time of the weekend at him. Sean was able to turn on the wind lights, though. Incredible 9,000th variance off the starting line. And that team looks like it is definitely a championship contender. Of course, any Alan Johnson team is a championship contender, but they're flexing their muscles right now.
Well, they've been doing a little experimenting in the early part of the season. Of course, you know, Sean came out and won Pomona, but Alan Johnson is a guy who is always looking for the next thing. You know, if he's got a combination that is 300 or 400 than the field, 300 or 400 better than the field, which he has had at times in the past, then he'll ride that out for a while. But the competition right now is so tight that he is going in a lot of different directions looking for something else to give him an edge, and it looks like right now they're pretty happy with that car. I think there's no question the biggest round for Sean Langdon was the semifinals against Spencer Massey. In 11 head-to-head meetings, Sean Langdon had never beaten Spencer Massey. Never.
Unreal.
And so getting that monkey off your back had to feel pretty good. And then the other amazing thing was the final round streak, and this time he continued. You know, as I talked to him in the winner's circle, I said, you've got to be the only drag racer in history that if they say, who do you want to race in the final round, you say Tony Schumacher. Because Tony Schumacher has such an amazing final round record, that U.S. Army team, over the years. When they get on a roll, they've got 3 runs under their belt, they're happy with it, they almost never give up a final round. But Sean Langdon has won 3 Top Fuel races, and all 3 of them he's beaten the Sarge in the final.
That is incredible. And regarding the Spencer deal, hearing Sean talk about it, he seemed to handle it pretty well. You just keep going up there and doing your thing, and eventually it'll turn around. And that is a great attitude. I know from my personal bracket racing days, and not just myself, but hearing other racers, it gets under your skin when somebody beats you 2 or 3 times, let alone 4 or 5 times. This was 11 straight times that Spencer has had Sean's number, and it finally went the other way.
And it'll be interesting to see where it goes from here. Like you said, Sean, you know, Sean's been racing for so long, going all the way back to the junior days, that I don't think he lets most of that stuff get under your skin. Tony Schumacher talks about being a machine. When you get in a car, you just have to be a machine. You're not paying attention. And in the grand scheme of things, when you're Top Fuel racing, as long as they're not screwing around with you on the starting line, there's really nothing the guy in the other lane can do. You know, you're racing against yourself. There's no defense. There's not, you know, he's not doing something to slow your car down. So it's just a matter of, you know, just keep doing my job. Keep doing what we do. Have faith in the team and figure sooner or later it'll swing around. It'll be interesting to see now if maybe the streak goes the other way for a while, because we've certainly seen that from time to time, too, with really good cars. You know, one guy win 5 in a row, and then all of a sudden the next guy wins 7 in a row. But it'll be a matchup to watch as we go forward.
Absolutely. And then Sean goes to the final round, has low ET of the event, 3750. And they got no blower belt shredding right there. They got it down to the wire.
And they needed it there, too, because Tony Schumacher made an excellent run with his. You know, his 378 was just a tick off of his best run of the day that he made in the semifinals. And Tony was solid on the reaction timer all day long as well. That 030 light that he had in the first round actually held up to be the best reaction time of the event for Top Fuel cars. So, you know, two great teams, a lot of respect between the two of them going head-to-head. It was fun to watch. And I think we also ought to give a tip of the cap to Leah Pruitt, who made her first semifinal and earned it. She didn't tiptoe her way there. She had a good, solid car, was running consistently, and then had a parts failure in the semis and a little bit of a fireball. But it looks like that team all of a sudden is in competitive mode.
And I don't know if you got a chance to watch the ESPN2 coverage, but they basically had a camera looking right down on Leah at that point, and she did do an excellent job, just right through in terms of, I definitely her best event as a pro from Q1 through Q4, and then eliminations. But when that thing went up, you could see her head come forward just from the deceleration, and I thought it was a great example of the just the acceleration these drivers are under, that it wasn't she was on braking, she was just not accelerating as hard anymore, and it was what a fireball.
Well, it's interesting. We've seen that before. There's certainly a couple of things. There was a classic Larry Dixon picture a number of years ago where his helmet actually hit the steering wheel. And when you're strapped into the car, that's not possible. I mean, no way, no how. Whatever you did, you couldn't make Larry's head hit the steering wheel, except it did. And it's a combination of things. You know, when a car loses momentum like that, you know, you got to keep in mind with all the downforce and all the drag that are on these cars, they slow down pretty quickly when they lose fire. And that's, I guess that was probably a poor choice of words, since it didn't lose fire, it caught fire. But when the acceleration goes away, they slow down in a hurry. And then you also have the concussion of the explosion, which has a tendency to push the driver forward, even though they do have the shield across the back. But it's a pretty intense change of direction at that particular time, especially when you're not ready for it. You know, when you get to the finish line, you're throwing the parachutes, you're kind of braced, you're ready, you know it's coming. But at that point in time, it's just like, man, here we go, and then all of a sudden you're going backwards.
Absolutely, but a great job by Leah and that Doat Family Racing team. And it's about sponsorship for those guys right now. They can find some sponsorship, they can keep on going, and the sky is the limit, obviously, for that team. All right, funny car, where Johnny Gray, back-to-back, Rob Wendland and the crew. We're going to hear from Johnny, we're going to hear from Rob, we're going to talk about it, but they've got that hot rod on kill right now.
It was running good, no question. The John Force cars dominated qualifying, and Johnny was the highest non-Force car in the number four spot. But they just came out on race day, and very solid, very workmanlike, and zipped right on through the field. So, you know, that car, we've seen before, that car usually sets the pace earlier in the weekend. If it runs good on Friday, they usually run good all weekend and hang around and make some noise. If they struggle on Friday, they seem to have a tough time, you know, ever finding your footing. The old classic, you know, how important is that first run? Well, in Johnny's case, right now it seems to be, you know, at least the first two runs really do set the tone for the weekend. And, you know, had a solid Friday and just kept right on going.
John Force sets the track record, 404.3, ends up number one qualifier. And all three of the John Force Racing funny cars, Courtney and Robert, 1, 2, and 3. Very impressive showing. John gets taken out in the second round. Robert goes to the final. But positive things brewing over there at JFR.
I spoke to Jimmy Prock pretty extensively Sunday night. Just dumb luck, we were staying in the same hotel, and he and I were sitting in the lounge chit-chatting about some stuff. And, you know, he again, has been experimenting with a lot of stuff. You know, you look at the level of competition out there and know that, you know, okay, can I go out there and you know, run 412 or 415? Yep. Is that going to win me a lot of races? Nope. So you better get after something. And, you know, even with their struggles early in the season, they've looked like they've kind of hit on the combination or got the pieces and parts in place. And, you know, it's just the cars are so finicky that you change one thing, and sometimes you got to change five or six other things to make it all happy again. And playing with, you know, clutch weights and timing curves and fuel system and just on and on and on to try to make that thing happy. They stayed also and tested on Monday. All three of the John Force cars stayed in Topeka and ran on Monday. So even though they look like they, as I said at the top of the show, look like they had turned a corner, were going in the right direction, they still are looking for more and more consistency. But, you know, that Robert Height car, if it gets on a roll, how many times have we seen that? You know, they can reel off three or four or five in a row, no question.
Absolutely, and confidence is such a big factor. We even heard Johnny talk about the intimidation factor. When other teams know that you're running well, they maybe try to push and slip over the edge and smoke the tires. We're seeing a lot of that kind of manifest right now, and it's going to be interesting as the JFR cars get better. The DSR cars are already good. Jack Beckman is now starting to pick up speed and momentum, and so it's going to be very interesting in these next couple of races.
It's going to be fun to watch, you know, and as we get into the summer months, that kind of puts a whole another monkey wrench in the whole thing. We start getting into some of the hot weather, some of the high track temperatures, where high horsepower isn't necessarily going to rule the day. It's more about being able to contain and control. And it just, you know, that's one of the interesting things about the year-long season is you run through so many different tracks and different conditions and different things that you've got to be able to adjust for. There's a lot of cars out there right now that can run really fast when conditions are Disneyland, and it'll be interesting to see who takes charge when we get into the warm months and have to start tiptoeing a little bit.
In pro stock, Jeg Coughlin gets his first win of the season and defeats his teammate Alan Johnson in the final. His other teammate Vincent Nobile in the semifinal was up on the wheel, as Jeg has been known to do, and gets his 500th round win in pro stock. Huge weekend for the Coughlin team.
That car has been strong all season. You know, he's the only one of the Alan Johnson powered Dodges that hadn't won yet, and he had been to a couple of final rounds, so I think, you know, everybody knew that one was coming. Of course, Jeggy's ability is legendary, so I don't know how much more we have to cover on that, but he had, you know, some good solid runs. You know, Vincent Nobile, his Dodge teammate in the semifinals, that put a 003 light on the scoreboard against him and came up just about 100 short. And, of course, he and Alan with a monumental matchup in the final. And Jeg actually, I think, won the final during the semifinals. When Alan's car rattled the tire a little bit, Jeggy got lane choice. There looked like there was probably a hundredth, maybe a hundredth and a half difference between lanes. Certainly not, you know, not something you couldn't overcome, but those cars are so evenly matched. You know, when they left with identical reaction times, as long as Jeg's car didn't do anything silly, having that advantage of the left lane is probably what carried him to the win, and I think Alan would tell you the same thing.
But three J&J Racing-powered cars in the semifinals, and Roger Brogdon, tip of the cap to those guys, after some changes with crew chiefs and crew members and personnel moving around, they go out there and make it to the semifinals, taking out Erica Ender-Stevens, who broke a second gear in the first round, Matt Hartford, who great job qualifying and getting to the second round, and then lost to Allen. But looks like Brogdon might be moving in the right direction.
Well, you know, Roger, the planets kind of lined up for Roger, and I don't mean any disrespect at all to his team, but he qualified the number 15 spot. And as you mentioned, you know, Erica having the second gear problem, having the transmission break in the first round, is huge because, you know, likely, since the two of them left with nearly identical reaction times, likely that would have been the end of Roger's day. And then he gets into the second round, and he has the good fortune of running Matt Hartford instead of Jason Lyon. And again, I don't mean any disrespect to Matt Hartford's team. I know those guys. I know they're putting a lot of effort into it. But Jason Lyon had the better car in the first round. Matt was able to get around him with a 009 reaction time. And, you know, he and Roger had a pretty good side-by-side run that Roger got the better of. So the fact that he went to the semis is certainly a good for Roger's team. But if you look at the numbers, you look at it from the performance, they didn't do it with performance. They really did it with good fortune. So, you know, I think it remains to be seen if that team really is on the rebound.
We shall see. We shall see. Next race, Englishtown, but not this weekend, the Memorial Day weekend. We take that one off. I think I like that idea.
I'm going to be in Coos Bay, Oregon. So if anybody's up in that part of the world and wants to come out to the drag strip in Coos Bay on Saturday night, stop by and say hi. And then hopefully I'm going to get home in time to watch the 600. I'm going to be in the air when the 500 is going on, but I'm not really an IndyCar guy anyway, so I'll just watch SportsCenter for that one.
There you go. And any other race winners, Lucas Oil Series action that you've got at the top of your mind you'd like to comment on?
Well, I think, you know, Yurka Kaplan winning an alcohol funny car was huge. When you look at the fact that for his career in alcohol funny car, now he did have some success in comp, so it's not like he's never raced before. As a matter of fact, he won the U.S. Nationals in comp a couple of years ago. But in his alcohol funny car career, Yurka Kaplan has 7 round wins now. 4 of them came this weekend, and he picked up his first national event win, and, you know, against Tony Bartone in the final, and they just had a tremendous final round race between those two. But when you consider that Tony was in his 72nd final round, and Yurka was in his 12th round of competition ever, you had kind of a little David and Goliath thing going there. And then also Alan Bradshaw picking up the win for Doug Doucette and the brothers out of Canada. that was pretty cool. Some hard racers, been around a long time, kind of do things their own way. They're fabricators and machinists and tinkerers, and you know, build their own race cars and do all that kind of stuff. And they, you know, kind of like Roger Brogdon, they didn't crush him with performance. They had some good fortune along the way, but the bottom line is that they left with the trophy. So congratulations to those guys. It's, you know, Alan Bradshaw hadn't won in 10 years, even though he won a world championship way back when. But it's just nice to see some new blood out there in the winner's circle. And I'm sure Chris Demke and Tony Bartone would tell you, no, it's not. But it was kind of entertaining to watch.
I absolutely agree. It was a great time being out there in Kansas, meeting all the folks from Kansas. What a cool track, facility, Heartland Park, Topeka, and everyone. Now, before we let you go, Alan, one more thing.
Okay.
Alan Reinhart's birthday, everybody. It was yesterday. We don't do the show on Monday. So, happy birthday, Alan Reinhart.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what the big thing is. Everybody was making fun about turning 50, and like I said on Twitter, I barely feel a day over 49.
Yeah, exactly. And tomorrow you might feel 2 days over 49. Listen, it's the half-century mark. It's your halfway to 100.
No, I didn't get a cake or anything. Should I be hurt?
No. You didn't get a cake?
I was actually a little surprised, to tell you the truth, and not that I'm complaining, but I really figured there'd be some chop busting going on at the racetrack. I thought Evan had put something up on the big screen or somebody and take a swing at me, but nobody did, so I'll take the low-profile approach and just slide right on out of town.
I don't know. I don't know what to say. It was Evan's birthday this weekend, too.
Yeah.
It was a lot of birthdays.
He's not quite 50, though.
And Tommy DeLago.
Tommy DeLago's birthday is the same day as mine. Me, Tommy DeLago, Tony Stewart, and Cher.
So let's go back and go 9 months back from now. What happens at that part of the year with among racers? We got to figure this one out, because there's certainly something going on.
My parents were in college, so I don't think that had anything to do with racing.
Oh, okay, there you go. Well, big happy birthday from all of us here at WFO Radio, and thank you so much. 50, I think you're 10 years ahead of me.
I do appreciate that, and I certainly appreciate you buying me dinner for my birthday earlier in the weekend, so thank you for that.
Oh, you're very welcome, man. You know, an orange restaurant with lots of orange. It was also Bobby Bennett's birthday earlier in the week, so everybody, man, everybody, but that's all right. Alan, seriously.
John Force's birthday a couple weeks ago.
It's incredible. Everybody has a birthday at some point. It's insanity. Alan, great job. I really appreciate it. A lot of fun this weekend. What an event. Of course, with the undertone of everything that happened with the tornado, we had a watch situation on most of the weekend. But I was very happy we were able to get it through. And next race will be at Englishtown, and I'm very excited about going there. That is the Northeast. That is just so much history there. I cannot wait.
Yeah, Raceway Park is a cool place to go. It's, you know, been on the tour a long time. Again, one of the granddaddies. And you know, I think the happiest thing for the guys up at Raceway Park now is they got their name back. All of a sudden, it's the Summer Nationals again, since we moved Topeka off of the Memorial Day weekend. And, you know, that's what Englishtown was known for so long, was it was just the Summer Nationals. So, looking forward to it. It's always an interesting time when we go back there.
I cannot wait. I will have the experience for the first time myself, and I cannot wait to do it. Alan, thank you very much. Great job. And once again, happy birthday.
Thanks, Joe. I really appreciate it. Travel safe. I'll see you in about 10 days.
There he goes, the birthday boy, the NHRA's Alan Reinhart, joins us each week right here on WFO Radio. And it was a great event out in Kansas. And I want to say a big thanks and what's up to all the listeners out there who flagged me down or tweeted at me or said what's up via email. I certainly appreciate it. Some folks in the campground tried to make it by, and we just did not meet up. Didn't hook up, but I got to admit, I'm just, my head is spinning out there doing these races at first and having a great time, though. I want everybody to know it is awesome. Heartland Park, Topeka was spectacular. The city of Topeka was loving the NHRA. And so a big thanks to everyone and a big up to the winners. Mentioned Alan Bradshaw and Yurka Kaplan, also Tim Nicholson in Super Stock, Austin Williams in Stock, Tommy Phillips in Super Comp, Steve Williams in Super Gas, Larry Dasher in Super Street, and Larry Piper in Top Dragster. A lot of great racing action there this weekend. And the pits, boy, they were vast. And I was cruising around in a green Mustang rental car, and I've got a lot to say about the 5.0 Mustang. It was awesome. There was so much going on out there. We'll get into that a little bit later on in the show. And speaking of which, we've got a great show for you. Perhaps some first-time listeners out there, never listened to the show? Well, get ready. We have the winners on. Sean Langdon going to join us on the show, talk about his big win over Tony Schumacher, Alan Abbey Racing, how they were able to run all those runs down in the 70s, back to back to back to back to back to back to back, and we'll get into it with Sean Langdon. Also on the show, Johnny Gray, the driver, and Rob Wendlin, the crew chief. What do they got going on over there, and how are they winning back to back and going into Englishtown, a race that they were able to win last year? Big things going on. Pitch Energy, Don Schumacher Racing. We're going to hear from Johnny Gray for the second week in a row here on our WFO Radio Winners Edition. Also, crew chief Rob Wendlin. Then our pro stock winner, Jeg Coughlin Jr., going to join us on the show. Widely recognized as one of the, if not the, best racer in all of drag racing in terms of can do anything with anything, driving in Lucas Oil Series classes, is a Super Gas World Champion, has won the Big Go, has got four pro stock world championships, and I think this year, when he got together with Alan and Roy Johnson, a lot of people, including myself, said, give him the title. Give him the title. Got a great shot at winning the title. Well, Jeg breaks through for his first victory of the season, and we're going to talk with Jeg right here on the show. So if you like NHRA Mellow Yellow drag racing, you're going to love this show. Great thing you can do for us. Pass the word to your fan friends out there. Let them know about the show on iTunes or on the WFO Radio app on iOS or Android. You can get one for your iPad. You can get one for your iPhone. You can get one for your Android phone or tablet and listen to all the shows, all the interviews, our YouTube videos, everything we got. That is WFO. And, of course, follow me on Facebook and Twitter. I'd like that. That would be cool. All right, when we come back, we're going to get into it with Alan Johnson Racing, Alan Abbey driver, Sean Langdon, going to join us. Then later on in the show, Jeg Coughlin, Johnny Gray, Rob Wendlin. Stick around right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
This Father's Day, take Dad to the drag races. The Ford NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals, Father's Day weekend at Bristol Dragway. See John Force and his daughters Courtney and Brittany as they take on the field at drag racing's premier event. Tickets start at just $20 or get a weekend pass for only $79. Get $5 off if you order before June 9th. It's all happening June 14th to 16th at Bristol Dragway. Get your tickets at thundervalleytix.com or call 423-BRISTOL.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car champ, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. 480-7223 or visit frankhawley.com.
Android. WFO Radio is now available on Android.
You know, I get goosebumps just thinking of what you're saying.
You get the same award-winning motorsports entertainment that iPhone users have downloaded over 25,000 times.
You know, sometimes you just got to pinch yourself.
They couldn't make this happen.
Ignition. NHRA Nitro. NASCAR coverage. Videos. Push notifications. The WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party Pick Show and more.
It's a whole different game.
The WFO Radio app is a must for any racing fan. The Ultimate Racing Show. Sports radio for racing fans. It's in your pocket right now.
I'm going to scream.
Search WFO Radio and download it now.
I like it. It's exciting for me, and I know it's exciting for the fans.
Download it now. The one, the only WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
You got to keep on keeping on. It's top fuel drag racing going 330 miles an hour. You never know what can happen, so hang on and we're having fun.
WFORadio.com. Now back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Welcome back to NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio. I know we got a lot of new listeners out there, out there after the Kansas Nationals. Met a lot of new friends out there and had a great time checking out Heartland Park Topeka. But now it's time to get in there with the winners. And joining us now, winner of the Top Fuel Eliminator, went out there and, well, frankly, just crushed him, or at least that's what it seemed like. Joining us now from Alanabi Racing, Sean Langdon. Sean, welcome back to WFO.
It's always good to be back.
It's good to have you. What an impressive weekend. You guys really started off the season strong at the Winter Nationals and have been running well on the cusp, so to speak, of breaking through for multiple wins, runner-up in Houston, semis in Atlanta, but you finally break through for the second one here in Kansas.
Yeah, it was a great all-around victory for the whole Alanabi team. You know, we felt real confident in our car at the last couple races, basically dating back to Charlotte. We really felt like we turned a big corner at the Charlotte event, and going to Houston and also in Atlanta, you know, we really felt like we had a strong race car, but, you know, I think we just couldn't quite get it done on Sunday. You know, we really kept going each week, just, you know, like I said, just having that confidence in the car. And and this weekend, you know, or this last weekend in Topeka, it was just nice to kind of get that win, just because, like I said, for these last four races, we really felt confident that we had a car that could go out there and win the race. And we were close on Sunday, just couldn't get it done.
Some really great stats from the guys at Toyota. Last seven runs down the track were in the 370s, and you were low ET, or best run of the round, in like five out of the last six times down the racetrack going back to Saturday. Real solid, consistent performance at the top of the, basically at the top of the class.
Yeah, in this day and age, man, it's tough to do that. There are so many good running cars out there, and there's a lot of, you don't really just have one or two top-notch teams. You really have, you know, basically anywhere you qualify in the qualifying order, it's a tough draw first round. I mean, like you guys saw in the Atlanta, we had Morgan Lucas first round, and he threw down the third quickest run of that round. And then, you know, first round we get Pat Dakin, and he improved on his qualifying time and went 390 and definitely kept us honest first round. But just tough competitors the whole way throughout the event. Steve Torrance, and finally got my first round win against Spencer Massey, and, you know, in the final round racing the Sarge, you know, they're leading the points this year, so definitely they got the strongest running car out there. And it's like I said, it was just a great event for us to get that win. You know, I know we won in Pomona, but you know, we really this one, I think it really got us kind of like that fire lit back under us a little bit.
And you mentioned Morgan last week. It happened to him again this week. Third quickest run of the first round, and he's loaded up on the trailer because he runs the guy with the quickest run of first round. And as a driver, it didn't happen to you, but that's just got to be frustrating.
Yeah, and it is. And you know, we've been there. We were there a little bit last year, you know, just as far as just not quite qualifying where we wanted to, and just getting those tough drops first round. You know, it's some tracks, it's very critical to get that lane choice. And, you know, so it's very important to qualify in the top half of the field. You know, even though you don't really always get the good draws, you know, if you're qualifying in the top half of the field, you're still going to have a good race first round. But yeah, you know, sometimes it's just how NHRA drag racing goes. You know, when you don't have that luck, you get those tough draws first round where the guys are putting down low ET of the round. And, you know, but, you know, I think we're kind of on the other end of that with our Alanabi car is, you know, just everything seems to be kind of going right now. You know, we found that sweet spot in the tune-up, you know, making those seven in a row, those 3.7-second runs. You just kind of get in that little bit of a groove where the car's happy and you know, you almost can kind of tickle it a little bit more than you're used to get that extra couple thousandths of a second out of it.
How much did losing qualifying sessions going back to Charlotte and through Houston and even in Atlanta, kind of abbreviated qualifying efforts, how much does that hurt a team like yours that is one of the really strongest out there, kind of forcing everybody to play the, hey, we have to make the show, so perhaps maybe being a little more conservative. How much does that hurt in those races? And then in this race where you get to run a full qualifying four sessions, how much helpful is that to a team like yours where when you unload quick, then you can really start fine-tuning your setup to really produce some incredible runs?
I really believe for our team, you know, it's they have so much information, dating back as far as they can go. Obviously it will change your game plan a little bit, only having two runs versus four. I know that just recently a couple races ago we ran into that situation, and, I know it was one of those scenarios where Alan O'Brien had talked, and they basically had said that, hey, we just need to make a nice conservative run right here, get down the track, make sure that we will get in the show, and then after that, then we can go after the qualifier, the number one qualifier. It can kind of change your game plan a little bit, but I don't really think that these guys over here are so good, and, I have so much confidence in this team that, I really believe that if we had one qualifying run versus four qualifying runs, I would really like our chances just as much.
In first round, you mentioned you had to go toe-to-toe with Pat Dakin, and he uncorks his best run of the weekend, 390 against you. So he was right there. Any slip-up or a problem with the car, he could have knocked you out. And then second round, that Torrance team, which is obviously resurgent with Lee Beard on board, throws in 380 up on the board. You guys had a 379, but also outreacted him on the starting line. Then that Spencer Massey matchup. A lot was made about that. Just obviously, you're a great driver and a good car, even dating back to your time at Morgan Lucas Racing. Spencer as well. It's kind of crazy how momentum can be going one way for so long, but that didn't seem to get into your head at all.
No, and, it can come across that way, that it does get in your head, just because, it does kind of get to you a little bit when, just being a competitive race car driver, it doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with Spencer Massey, but if I'm 0-11 against anybody or anything, it's going to kind of eat at me a little bit, and it's going to kind of make me dig a little bit deeper, and I don't like losing. And so it just basically comes down to the point of, you don't really try anything different. You really try to keep the same focus and the same mentality as you would running Spencer Massey or anybody else out there. You really just, as a driver, try to do the same thing every single time. And just throughout the years, he managed to have my number. There's a couple drivers where, I have their number a little bit, and it's not because I've done anything different. It's just because that's just the way it's ended up. It was definitely good to get that round win against him. It was definitely good to, just how good of a handle Brian has on the car, and for them to be able to say, hey, we're going to try to run a 376 here, we need to kind of step the car up a little bit, knowing that we're going to run Spencer Massey, and then with the possibility of either running Tony Schumacher or Leah Pruitt in the final, we knew we had to step it up a little bit, and we missed it by basically 0.004 of a second and went 377 with a 3. And when you're going 325 miles an hour, I don't think that's too bad to miss your prediction by 0.004 of a second.
Absolutely. And one aspect of the record deal with these cars being so volatile and parts breakage and failures and track conditions, I think it's more an example of just things happening when you compile a record like you did against Spence. Now, would you feel the same way if in Super Comp, one of those Super Comp guys had your number 0-11? Would that have eaten at you more?
A lot of the Supercom guys had my number. They, even in bracket racing, man, there's this, it's the same scenario. It's just sometimes you race people and things work into your favor. One of the best sportsman racers that I consider in the Supercom class, Gary Stinnett, I had a lot of tough races with him in the Jags All-Star final round in Chicago, ran him in a couple final rounds in the 2007-2008 era where me and him were both fighting for the championship, and he's one of the best racers out there. And I managed to, I think I won four or five races in a row against him, and it wasn't because I did anything different. It's just I was winning a couple thousands here, a couple thousands there, and I just had that little bit of luck to be able to get around him. And it's just that's just how drag racing goes sometimes.
And then in the final round, it flipped around and works in your favor in that you have three wins in the top fuel class, all against what some consider to be the greatest driver team of all time, Tony Schumacher, and that U.S. Army Don Schumacher racing car. So that's just the flip side of it, that you're 3-0 in final rounds against the Sarge.
Yeah, see, and that's exactly it. It's, you know, as a driver, you know, I try not to do anything different. It just happens to work out that way against Tony Schumacher. You know, you really look at him and what he's accomplished in the class. You know, he's won all these races and all the championships, and so you definitely know that you can't slack off as a driver. You know, I think my two lights against those two guys, I was 42 and 44 on the tree. So it was, you know, I didn't really step up in particular. You know, I just tried to do the same thing every single time, and I think my light was 45 in the first round against Pat Dakin. So it, like I said, it's just as a driver, really try to get in that mode of being consistent, doing the same thing every single time. And at that point, it's a matter of coming down to your team and to your race car. And, you know, that's why I love running with this Allen Abbey racing team. It's just, I got all the confidence in the world in them. They have a great team. And, you know, we're fortunate enough to walk away with the victory this weekend.
9 thou variance on your reaction time over the course of the day during different conditions, different light out there as clouds are going by. That is very impressive. And is that what you ultimately strive for, kind of a consistent grouping? Of course, good reaction times, but most importantly, consistency?
Yeah, it really is. You know, that's something that I just kind of pride myself in, is just being not only quick, but being consistent and, you know, basically being able to go back and, you know, don't really, you know, I want the crew chief to be able to, you know, have a driver in me to where they know where I'm going to be at. You know, it can play a little bit havoc on a crew chief when, you know, they're going up to the starting line and thinking, okay, well, is he going to be 040 on the tree or is he going to be 10 on the tree? Do I need to make my car run a little better? And that's just something I think that just growing up and doing the bracket racing and doing racing all the sportsman classes, that's just something that you have to do in those classes. You have to be consistent. And I know I was a little irritable after the Atlanta event when my reaction times were kind of all over the place. That was, I think I was 049 first round, and then I was 076 second round, and then 061 in the third round. And, you know, that was something I got a little mad at myself about. I'm usually a little bit better than that. And I told my crew chief, Brian, I told him, I'm really kind of mad at myself. I said, I'm really going to shoot this week, and I'm going to try to keep it within what we call a window of your best reaction time versus your worst reaction time. I told him, I said, I'm going to keep within 100th window this week, and that's my goal. And eliminations, I was able to be within 9,000. So that was, like I said, it was a good all-around event. You know, I really think that, you know, me as a driver, I was really excited with what I was able to accomplish, and I know that Brian was really excited with how he was able to make that car perform, and the crew guys, man, they did a phenomenal job all weekend, you know, just getting that car ready, and a 60-minute turnaround with the rain possibility. It was just an overall great team effort.
Very, very impressive, fun to watch, and on the entertainment value chart, big time entertaining, run after run, including that final round against the Sarge. He went 030 against you, but you uncorked low ET of the entire event, 324. Now, you were shredding some blower belts over the course of the weekend. That must be a little, just in the back of your mind, nervous as to what's going to happen. But then again, it seemed like the final round, everything was just fine.
Yeah, it was actually an issue that we had throughout the weekend. The very first qualifying run, we had dropped the cylinder early in the run, and we were only able to go a 390 or something like that, I believe. But, you know, it was something that we had kind of fought a little bit throughout the weekend. on the second run, we were trying to go for that number one qualifier, and it actually had dropped two cylinders down track, and it kicked the rods out. So that got a little costly on us, but it was something after that. We really kept trying to figure out the problem, and we were, you know, kind of going to one area and going to another area. And it almost had got us actually in that second round against Steve Torrance, because it had dropped a cylinder down track, and it actually had, it broke the belt about, I think it was like 80 foot before the finish line. So fortunately, you know, we were far enough down track to where, Torrance wasn't able to get back around us. But once we got into the semis, they had fixed the problem. They had found it. So in the semifinals and into the final round, we were able to go 324 miles an hour, just because, you know, we had figured out what the problem was.
Well, very interesting just watching that all develop, and you guys trying to get on top of issues even as one of the top teams out there. Certainly a lot to learn for those of us who are very interested in the sport. Now, next race, Englishtown. We got Memorial Day weekend this weekend. No drag racing traditionally that weekend, at least in the Mellow Yellow series. So lots going on with the Indy 500, Grand Prix of Monaco, all the other series out there seem to all race this weekend. We get to stay home. But then the following weekend, Summer Nationals, Englishtown, New Jersey. Legendary race facility in that big New York Northeastern metropolitan media market. What are your thoughts about heading up there as the most recent race winner?
Oh, you know, we're definitely excited about, you know, getting out to Englishtown. It's a big event for one of our big sponsors, Toyota. They're actually sponsoring the event, so it's you know, it's really good to be able to go to events like that. And you know, I know that they're really excited. They're real anxious to get out there. They'll have their Toyota pit pass out at the event, to where a lot of fans can come up and get all the Toyota drivers' autographs, and we'll go out there and we'll go up on stage and do little interviews and stuff like that. And we'll have a Toyota customer race on Wednesday night. So it's, you know, it's a fun event because of the fact of Toyota. They do so much for us throughout the year that it's a good event for us to give back to them a little bit. And hopefully we can get that win for them and get them their Wally for their you know, all their hard work that they help us out with throughout the year.
Sitting second in the points, just 34 behind Tony Schumacher. You both have had very strong seasons, and it's going to get very entertaining as we go through the middle of the year, summer months, and then, of course, down the stretch. Sean, thank you so much for coming on WFO Radio. Always love when you are on the program. We certainly appreciate it. Congratulations on your monster win. What a great weekend.
I really appreciate it. Thank you very much, Joe.
Sean Langdon with us here on WFO Radio, and definitely a Mellow Yellow Championship threat. This year's title is going to be spectacular. A lot of people thought as soon as Sean got together with Alan Johnson, it would immediately be a championship waiting to happen. But that a little unrealistic that they're going to go out there first year, new drivers, get it done. Now, here in the second year, not just Sean, but Khaled Al-Balushi, both have raised their game tremendously. Khaled especially has become a totally different driver, and that is great. He's out there, he's relaxed, he's having fun on stage, he's goofing around. It's awesome to watch. But when you start looking at teams that can win the title, you say to yourself, you know what? Can this guy win? Yes. Can this guy win? Yes. Can this guy win? Yes. And suddenly you're saying, well, that's a whole bunch of guys. Schumacher, Langdon, Antron, Spencer. How about Doug? You think Doug Coletta could get hot for the final six races? I think I do. What about Khaled Al-Balushi? I think I do. Brandon Bernstein. He's playing hurt, but I think I do. Morgan Lucas, I think I do, and Bob Vandegrift and Clay Milliken are certainly trying to elevate into that position. This top 10 countdown is super exciting because unlike the NASCAR chase, where they have expanded to accommodate just about the right amount of cars that are capable of winning, maybe even a little too many, there are more cars that are capable of winning the title than can make the playoffs. A good car is going to miss. And that is interesting. That ratchets up the pressure dramatically. So I'm going to be very excited to see how it all works out. But Sean Langdon has come to play here in 2013. All right, when we come back, we're going to hear from Jed Coughlin Jr. a little later on in the show. I'm going to talk to Jed about winning 500 rounds. My goodness, 500 rounds in pro stock. It's really like 502 now. Taking out his teammate Alan Johnson in the final round. But when we come back, we're going to hear from Johnny Gray and Rob Wendland. first driver, then crew chief, and to talk about the Pitch Energy DSR funny car and winning back-to-back races. How about three in a row? Can they do it? Well, we'll ask. But first, I want to tell you a little bit about Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. If you've got a dream, a fantasy, you want to try something new, drive one of these dragsters, get the experience, well, there's only one place to do it, and that's Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Click the banner ad on the front page of WFOradio.com or just go directly to frankhawley.com and you can learn more about it. Jack Beckman was an instructor there and a student there. He got on the right track, and you can too. Check him out at Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. We'll be back after this on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials, known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
This Father's Day, take Dad to the drag races. The Ford NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals, Father's Day weekend at Bristol Dragway. See John Force and his daughters Courtney and Brittany as they take on the field at Drag Racing's premier event. Tickets start at just $20, or get a weekend pass for only $79. Get $5 off if you order before June 9th. It's all happening June 14th to 16th at Bristol Dragway. Get your tickets at ThunderValleyTix.com or call 423-BRISTOL.
Hey, this is Joe Costello, and we'll be back to the show in a second. But first, I want to tell you about CompetitionPlus.com. There's a reason CompetitionPlus.com is the leader among drag racing electronic magazines. Their trained staff is always on alert and always asking the tough questions. The end result is hard-hitting drag racing journalism with up-to-the-minute reporting. For over a decade, CompetitionPlus.com has been a pioneer as drag racing's go-to source for the latest in news, race coverage, and high-quality photography. Their trained staff thrives on getting the inside stories, and their columnists study their topics before they hit their first keystroke. When it comes to covering the races, they leave you feeling as if you've actually been to the race. CompetitionPlus.com is an honest-to-goodness, free drag racing magazine, published by the most passionate of drag racing fans, who just happen to be journalists. Don't wonder what's going on in the drag racing world. Be in the know daily. Log on to CompetitionPlus.com.
Hey, this is Carlos, WFO Radio producer. When you're done watching all the great videos, which I made, on the WFO Radio TV YouTube channel, head over to the WFOradio.com store for some really hot WFO Radio gear, like the WFO Radio hat, which is now only $15. WFO New Era hats are on sale for Father's Day. Get a hat for your dad, get a hat for your head, or a sticker kit for your truck at WFOradio.com. Get some.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro, following up the NHRA Kansas Nationals out there in Topeka, Kansas. And we're going to get into it now with our funny car winner. And it hasn't been long since he's been on the show. Johnny Gray, welcome back, Johnny. Back-to-back weeks. I like it.
Evidently my car's running good. I'm back on here, right?
That's how it works, and I love it. You were in a good spirit all weekend, and you told us something, and I appreciate you letting us behind the mind of the driver, so to speak, that when the hot rod is good, that makes you good, and that was evident this weekend. Confidence seems to be really, really high over at your team.
Yeah, we've Don's provided us with all the parts and pieces and the proper people to put together a really good team there, and car's running good, and it's just the way it is. You know, the better the car runs, the better the driver does, and you kind of get on a roll, and that thing's definitely on a roll right at the minute.
Now, you ran Robert Height in the final round. I want to talk about that, but it was not an easy day by any stretch of the imagination. I guess there's no such thing in funny car anymore. Starting off with Alexis DeJoria, you had to run that 4.11 in the first round, and that kind of got the momentum going.
Yeah, she's doing such a great job over there, and she just does such an excellent job of driving the car that you sure can't discount her at all, and she's due to win one of these things. So I don't think anybody wants any part of her right at the minute. She's just it's just waiting to happen.
Second round, you ran low ET of your day with a 4.047 and were able to take out Del Worsham. You left the starting line off him on him as well. And when you're going up against Del, he's widely known as one of the best drivers in funny car. And you guys brought everything you had on that run.
Yeah, well, you got to against Dale. You know, I drove for Dale back in the day, and I know how good he is. I know how dedicated he is, and he wasn't world champion for no reason. So you better go up there with your A game, because he's going to be up there with his.
And he was. Then in the semis, an all DSR matchup, you and the reigning Mellow Yellow World Champ Jack Beckman, who has started the season off a bit slow, and I know was very, very hungry for that run, but you guys uncorked another pass, a 4.055, and the consistency that you have found is what is very impressive. Mid 4.0s this weekend, but consistently.
Gosh, there's no way to explain how good the car really is running. You know, it just, the thing, you know, when Rob, Rip, Ryan, and all them guys get their head in it, and they kind of get the track figured out, they can hand you a pretty dadgum good, consistent race car, and, we can run funny car or run bracket races, whatever everybody wants to do.
I love that line, and it's true, but I wouldn't want to be the guy trying to judge you coming up on the stripe, that's for sure. And then in the final round, you and Robert Height matching up again, and this is a matchup we've seen a lot, but not in the final normally. In the first round, it seems like a lot this year, but Robert has pretty much had your number in finals. It must have been great to turn the tables.
Yeah, he's, Robert and I, we've kind of dueled back and forth quite a bit on, as far as the first round stuff. But, he's just they've just tattooed me every time we ended up in the final. But, maybe the tide's turning for us here. So we laid one down and, got her done.
4.067 in the final round takes down Robert Height, who had a great weekend as well and was maybe one of the best cars on the property. Now, Johnny, back-to-back wins. That's the first time you have done that, and we have made, in funny car, we have made a lot about this being your final year chasing Mellow Yellow points. And you were asked in the media center afterwards if there is any way that your strong performance might change your mind, and you had a very straightforward, poignant answer. Definitely not. I already bought a boat.
That's it. Nope, we're done after this year as far as, running any kind of a points chase or anything. And, I got a boat just sitting there waiting on me, buddy.
Now, in the media center after the race, you were joined there by Rob Wendland, your crew chief, and you were asked by one of the reporters just about the team, the extra motivation, the scene on the side, the quarter panel of your car, of your dad looking out on that oil field, and what it all means. And as you were getting ready to answer, Rob jumped in and kind of said, "Can I take this one?" And he laid out the vision of the team as opposed to, I can imagine, of course, you're driven, but to hear your crew chief speak on behalf of your guys, how driven that they are by this experience, by this season-long tribute to your father, by trying to all earn this championship together. What did that mean to you to see him basically pour his heart out on the table talking about what it has meant to race with you?
It's a great deal. I mean, we're all out there having a lot of fun, you know? And, the better we do, the more fun it is, and we're no different than anybody else. But, but basically we're out there just trying to have a really, really good time. And so far we're doing it, you know?
Absolutely. Next race, English Town, New Jersey. And are you going to be able to keep the momentum, and as success begins to pile up and you build that confidence, the car runs better, you know, the sky is the limit for what you can do. Does it change the way you roll into a racetrack to start a weekend, for instance, in 2 weeks at the Summer Nationals?
No, I don't think so. I mean, that's up to Rob and Rip and all them guys, because I'm going to show up there with, you know, put all my junk on and throw my skid bed on and crawl in there and hope that I got everything right and go do the best I can. That's all I can do.
Each week when we have you on, we often like to speak with Johnny, the funny car driver, but also Johnny, the pro stock team owner. Shane didn't have the best of weekends, but qualifying was still strong. How is that program moving forward? Are you still feeling confident? I know you you talked a lot about how part of what you're going to do when you do step out of the seat is really focus on getting Shane a world championship in pro stock. Obviously, first round out is not the way you want to do it. It looked like there was some sort of malfunction. But bottom line, how do you feel that program is evolving?
Yeah, the malfunction was in his left foot. He got what we call the yips. And and we've all done it. And that's where you, you know, you look up there and you're all focused and you think you see the light. You start to let the clutch out and you think, oh, I was early. And you start to put the clutch back in, and then you realize, no, the light was on, and by then you're dead in the water. And, you know what, I don't know what everybody else calls it. I call it the yips, you know. But, it happens. It happens to the best of them. If you're going to be up there and you're going to be really on the tree, you know, you're going to red light once in a while. You know, it's kind of like Jeg said down there. He asked what happened. I said, well, he got the yips, and he said, man, I hate it when that happens, you know.
He had a 21 reaction time though, Johnny.
Yeah, but when you start back in with that clutch pedal, you kill the run. It's over. You just kill the car, you know. So that's what I say. He was right when he let the clutch out. You know, he was right, but he thought he was early, so he started to put the clutch back in. When he did, it just, you know, it just knocked the clutch out of the car, and you ain't going nowhere. So it just happens.
And that's the life of a NHRA driver, in that you have to be perfect. You cannot, there's no changing four tires and getting your lap back and lucky dog. You go up there, you have to be perfect. Otherwise, chances are you're going home.
Right. And that's the problem with the drivers is, you know, none of us are perfect. So we all make mistakes and you all go back and, you know, I critique every run I make and try to figure out how I could have been just a little bit better, because I know I'm not going to be perfect, you know. So I just try to do the best I can and go. And I know every driver out there does the same thing. And, you know, we make mistakes, and sometimes we get away with it, and sometimes we don't.
Probably a good advice for life, not just on the racetrack, but off the racetrack.
Yeah, that was pretty true in everything.
There you go. Johnny, congratulations. It's been great watching you guys go out there and get the job done with that Pitch Energy Dodge Charger. You guys are on a roll. Keep it rolling, and I appreciate you coming on WFO Radio each time.
I appreciate you guys having us on, and, you know, we'll see what happens here. Hey, maybe we can be back on here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, maybe a couple of times. Who knows? Johnny, thank you so much.
All right, thanks, guys.
Johnny Gray with us here on WFO Radio. And from the driver's perspective, of course, Johnny Gray, the wheelman on that car, but made a couple references. We talked about this guy, the crew chief, fist pumping on the starting line, Rob Wendland. Rob, welcome back to WFO. How are you?
Great, man. Glad to be here.
Yeah, you were definitely fired up seeing you down on the starting line. It seems like confidence is just blossoming with this team as you guys figure out that you've got a car that can win this championship.
You know, I'm very blessed just to have the people who are surrounding me, you know, the guys with this team, you know, Rip, Ryan, Jimmy, Tuna, Levi, Alex, you know, Brad, all the guys here. It's a blessing to have these guys. That's what gives me the confidence. I don't worry about Johnny driving the car. I don't worry about how the car is put together. All I have to worry about is that you know, collectively, we've made the right decisions to make the car go down the track. And that's my job right now. And so far, it's going pretty damn well.
Absolutely. That second round pass of 4.047 was unreal. That was just a major, major run. And then you're able to keep it in the 4.0s throughout the rest of the day. And then that final round against Jimmy Prock. You know, we heard the drivers' matchup battle, but last time we had you on, you gave us some insight into you and Jimmy, and someone or both of you usually smoke the tires when you guys face each other, that crew chief tuner rivalry that you guys have got.
I have the utmost respect for Jimmy. I mean, it's like, you know, I look at Jimmy and I, the same way I look at, you know, Brian Corradi and these guys that have been out here for all these years. And I mean, I have a tremendous amount of respect for him. And, so when we run up against him, I try and put that all off to the side now. I really do. But you're right. When we go up there, usually it's a pretty good battle because, you know, we're both fairly aggressive people. And, we know that. You know, if it makes it, it's probably going to be a good run. And so maybe that tends to have you do something a little extra maybe that you normally wouldn't do, you know. So anyway, I tried to keep my cool on Sunday, and well, it really panned out for the team for sure.
It really did. Now, ask Johnny, I'll ask you. In the media center, Johnny was asked about the team, the final year, the motivation, all of that. And you kind of jumped in there. You wanted to answer the question on behalf of the team, on behalf of yourself. Like, what is inspiring and motivating you on the show the last time? You kind of told us about how you guys are viewing this final year together, knowing that Johnny is going to go fishing, as he says, although he will be back at the track from time to time, just not chasing mellow yellow points. The reality and the gravity of that, Rob, you got the car, you got the driver, you're performing well, everyone is performing well. It's about making the stars align, getting that lucky break, and setting up for those final six races. Talk a little bit about that motivation to get it done in this season.
Well, you know, we know that, you know, the reason why Johnny's out here this year is, you know, in remembrance of his father. And Johnny didn't have to come racing this year. You know, when Service Central decided to go and put their money into IndyCar, you know, totally, and kind of left us behind at the last minute, you know, I've said it before, you know, Johnny's the one that stepped up and made sure that we all had jobs. And that's a man that he didn't have to do that. And so that just tells you that he's a man of his word, too. And when we talk about our fathers and things like that, pretty much when we are instilled with the grains of them in us, that's what makes us up. You know, if you hang out with your father, you know, all through your childhood and things like that, you know, some of the quirks and things that they do and the personality traits that they have, they definitely come across to you, and that's what you know, and that's kind of how you lead your life. So the person that Johnny is, and not knowing his dad, but I can probably give you a pretty good idea of what his dad was like. I'm sure he was a man of his word, and so was Johnny. So what we could do to give back to Johnny is provide him with a race car, even a race car he says that he can't screw up. Well, he hasn't, believe me. And he just did an incredible job of driving this year. So like I said in the media room, you know, that cause of what he did for us as a team, and he is also worried about our careers. You know, he's not going to be around next year, but he wants this team to stay together. That's how good a team this is, and he cares that we all have jobs next year. So, you know, they're actively searching for, you know, sponsorship for someone else to drive this car next year where this team can stay together. And, we, you know, we pray and hope that that happens. But, you know, he doesn't have to worry about that. He chooses to because he cares about this team. And that's what we want to give back to him. And so giving him a great race car, you know, that's my goal right now, a safe one. And if we go out there and, you know, like you say, all the stars line up and all that stuff on Sunday, and we do our jobs right, then that's where we'll find this pitch energy car. You'll see it in the winner's circle for sure.
Headed to Englishtown in 2 weeks, the Toyota Summer Nationals, a premier event, major media market, legendary, historic track. You guys already got two in a row. Can you make it three in a row?
I say yes. I haven't heard any orders yet to do so, but the guys are all looking at me funny here and saying, yes, we are going to win it. you know, we won that race last year, and it wasn't like, you know, it was a bunch of tire smoking runs or anything. You know, again, like, we ran a hard charging car all day long. We had Ron Capps in the final, and we even had like a, I don't know, that's been like a 45 minute or an hour delay of rain right before the final. And we made some quick decisions of some different things to do based on what rain does to a racetrack, and it panned out for us. And so I feel really confident with this team in this car. I have no qualms whatsoever with my driver. If I do my job right, and you know, we get out there on Friday, you know, try not to get behind the eight ball again like we did at Topeka, I think that we have as great a chance as anyone out there to go and win this race. And we're sure the hell going to try, that's for sure.
Rob, appreciate you coming on the show after this big win at the Kansas Nationals, giving us the crew chief perspective from the Pitch Energy team. And you guys are on a run. It's going to be very fun to watch how you navigate the rest of the year, the hot summer months, and, of course, prepare for that final six race countdown that will ultimately determine the championship. But right now, looking very strong. Thank you so much for coming on WFO Radio.
Hey, Joe, I got a couple of questions for you.
Yes.
Hey, so, hey, what's your background? Did you ever work on any race cars as a kid or building hot rods?
Well, yes, a little bit. I have, you know, of course I started out with Hot Wheels cars and model cars like every other kid. But as soon as my dad and I could afford to put a camshaft in our 78 Pontiac Trans Am with a 400 Pontiac that it came from the factory with, we did that, intake manifold, carburetor, got that going down in the mid-12s, and then it done blowed up, and then got crazy and back half the car, put in a 455 Pontiac because we're Pontiac people and so we want to be difficult on ourselves and make everything harder. And so we did that and started bracket racing. And I bracket raced. I won a track championship. I finished 11th overall at the five-day bracket race a couple years in 1995 was my best year. And kind of had track announced and raced at the same time. And then started to look around, Rob, and said to myself, you know, I need to get a career here, man. This racing stuff is really fun, but everybody else is like a business person. They've got a career, and got a job at a local radio station. So started doing talk radio, was able to kind of merge the two, and went to XM and did a lot of NASCAR stuff and did some drag racing stuff. And then here I am, basically. But did some, I would call it rudimentary mechanics, adjusting valves, cylinder heads on and off, nothing on the bottom end of the engine. I've taken a transmission in and out, all of that stuff. But when it comes to like piston rings, bearings, and putting in connecting rods and building a short block, I have not. I've been there like when it's happened. But when it comes to, you know, basic stuff, timing, oil priming, adjusting valves, changing valve springs, I have done that kind of stuff. I like doing it. It's a lot of fun. But I find myself, even though I got a nice bracket car sitting there ready to go that would be good for like NHRA Super Street, I end up doing stuff with WFO because I'm hoping that's going to put, you know, money in the account.
Yeah, right. And you know, if you work on the other stuff, it just sucks money out of your account.
Yes.
So, yeah, you actually have to have a job to provide the money to work on the hot rod for it to suck money out of your account.
And if you think about when I was doing most of my racing, and it was in the 90s, so it's now it's a long time ago, but
yeah.
A gasoline-running, carbureted bracket car, I could win some races, you know, leaving with the delay box and everything. I could win a lot of races. I was doing very well, even against the few guys that had dragsters. But that was right as guys were getting alcohol dragsters, you know, alcohol-carbureted dragsters, four-link suspensions. People were really ramping up their equipment. And I wasn't able to do that. And I was thinking to myself, listen, I could stay out here with a stick at a gunfight and do my best as I can, or I can really focus on my career like so many people have and maybe in 10, 15 years come back to it and race in a way that I want to race. And so I'm hoping to get there, but I got sidetracked, obviously, doing this track announcing thing and this radio show. And now I get to show up and watch you guys spend your money and me just have a great time talking about it. So it is kind of an interesting thing.
Well, that's cool. You know, I'm sure, you know, you ask a lot of questions on your show. And I think every once in a while, a guy ought to ask you questions and let people get to know who you are, too.
That is so awesome, Rob. I appreciate that. and very surprising and a pleasant surprise. So I really appreciate it. You know, so many people come up to me and they say each national event, just found out about the show and it's awesome. Love hearing the behind the scenes stuff. And they always want to hear from crew chiefs and tuners and even Lucas Oil Series guys more and more. So that was kind of what inspired me. Now that you and I are talking back and forth, having you on, get your perspective as well. So I thank you for that.
Oh, you bet, man. I'm glad to be here.
Well, all right, Rob. I will check you soon. We'll see you in E-Town. Good luck and enjoy your Memorial Day weekend.
You too. Hey, and God bless all the people down in Oklahoma. That's a horrible tragedy. I was up all night last night till 6:30 in the morning watching the news coverage on it, and my heart is just broken for those people down there. And so God bless them all. And you know, if you know this or not, but Todd Smith, his son was in that tornado.
I did not
know that. The crew chief for Beckman's car, and he's okay. He's got some pretty good cuts and things like that, but it's a crazy story. He was hiding in a closet. Heard it coming. He did have a storm shelter outside. It was 3/4 full of water. He jumped in it. He's up to his neck in water. He didn't get the door shut all the way to the storm shelter. It ripped it off its hinges, and then it started sucking the water out of the storm shelter like it was a big vacuum cleaner, you know. But he ended up being just okay. But when he came outside, there was nothing but a slab of concrete out there where his house used to be. So all of Todd's family lives in Moore, Oklahoma, and they're all okay. So God bless them, and hopefully they'll get their life all back in order there real soon. And God bless all the families that, you know, that have lost lives there. It's just, that's a tragic, tragic thing.
Totally agree, and it has been shocking, especially we were just in that part of the country. And to come home to that, my goodness, and then the Todd Smith angle that you just told us about, absolutely horrific. Thank goodness they are okay. Rob, thank you so much. Appreciate it, and I'll see you in a couple weeks.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you.
Rob Wendland with us here on WFO Radio, and what a story about Todd Smith's family being out there in Moore, Oklahoma. I just saw some incredible stuff on the news, and it is just unbelievable. In fact, on my personal Facebook page, I posted a story. They're doing an interview with this woman. She's talking about how she was hiding and her dog, she couldn't find it. And all of a sudden, the dog is right there in the rubble and she finds it. And there are just so many amazing stories right there. And what can you say? It's very difficult, but very good to hear that some of our NHRA community are okay. And a big thanks to Rob. How about that? Turning the tables on me, asking me a question. I was unprepared, but I came up with something pretty quick. And that's the way it is. This is what you got to do. Look, I got into this deal, drag racing, because I love cars and I love working on them, but I love racing them the most. But most importantly, beyond all of that, it was great bonding time with my father and our friends. Really, that's at the core of it. And whenever we went to the racetrack, it was because when we would go out there, we would socialize with very cool, fun people that we liked a whole lot and had a great time. Of course, it would be competitive. It would be fast and loud. We'd race our car and talk about stories, kick the game. Socializing, fun, good people, good times, competition, maybe even win a little money. What's not to love about the drag strip? I can't even think of it. I don't spend a lot of time out there these days. Things change. I'm working really hard to build WFO Radio into an international entity that all you drag racing fans log on every week, subscribe on iTunes, download the app, patronize our sponsors, get on board with them, go to the races we're promoting, and build this thing into something absolutely huge. So these drag racers in the Mellow Yellow Series and Lucas Oil Series are part of your extended community. So you get to know them, what they're like, what they do, what they enjoy doing away from the track. Bring more sponsors into the sport. Grow the pie so that it is bigger and better for everyone. And that's what our goal was for WFO Radio. Yeah, I like doing the show and the interviews and getting the word out about NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing. It's a great sport with hardworking, good people who are fun and got great storytelling abilities and personalities. And what other motorsport has so much upside? And so there you go. And that's what we're doing. And I really appreciate it, Rob. And of course, Johnny Gray for coming on the show, winning back-to-back races. Very cool. All right, when we come back, we're going to get into it with Jed Coughlin Jr. But first, speaking of supporting the show and our sponsors, Bristol Dragway, the Ford Thunder Valley Nationals. If you're going to be in that area, well, get on out there. Click that banner ad right on the front page of WFOradio.com and check out all the tickets available. This is Father's Day weekend. Father's Day, not far out. Father's Day weekend, you and your dad, speaking of family, father-son type stuff, or father-daughter type stuff, no better place than to be at the drag strip watching a little Mellow Yellow Series and Lucas Oil Series drag racing than at Bristol Dragway for the Ford Thunder Valley Nationals. Check them out at WFOradio.com. Click the banner ad or go right to their website, BristolDragway.com, and check it out. We'll be back after this with Jed Coughlin Jr.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223 or visit frankhawley.com.
Android. WFO Radio is now available on Android.
You know, I get goosebumps just thinking of what you're saying.
You get the same award-winning motorsports entertainment that iPhone users have downloaded over 25,000 times.
You know, sometimes you just gotta pinch yourself.
They gotta make this happen.
Ignition. NHRA Nitro. NASCAR coverage. Videos. Push notifications. The WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party Pick Show and more.
It's a whole different game.
The WFO Radio app is a must for any racing fan. The ultimate racing show. Sports radio for racing fans. It's in your pocket right now.
I'm going to scream.
Search WFO Radio and download it now.
I like it. It's exciting for me, and I know it's exciting for the fans.
Download it now.
This Father's Day, take Dad to the drag races. The Ford NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals. Father's Day weekend at Bristol Dragway. See John Force and his daughters Courtney and Brittany as they take on the field at drag racing's premier event. Tickets start at just $20 or get a weekend pass for only $79. Get $5 off if you order before June 9th. It's all happening June 14th to 16th at Bristol Dragway. Get your tickets at ThundervalleyTix.com or call 423-BRISTOL.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist. I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
It's great to be on your show, Max. Every time I'm on your show, brother, I know on WFO, I know we did something good.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
And what WFO Radio Nitro Winners Edition wouldn't be complete without talking to the Pro Stock winner. And it has been a long time since we had this man on the show as a winner. Doing some good things out there in Pro Stock. Just eclipsed 500 round wins. What a tremendous number. Joining us now, Jed Coughlin Jr. Jed, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Joe. Good to be on the show, as always.
Thank you so much. And what was it like sitting out 2 years ago, then coming back and getting together with Alan Johnson, putting together this team?
Well, it was, sitting out the year was not a real big deal for me. You know, I did a lot of racing in the 2011 season, but it wasn't shortly after I announced that I was going to step away from Pro Stock for the 11 season that things just started coming together with forming a new program with Lofar and Jegs. And you know, we did end up putting that together for 2012 and made a few adjustments going into 2013. Ended up transitioning into the engine program at J&J Racing, which is Alan Johnson, and also forming a true team together with him, where Mark Ingersoll, Jim Yates, co-crew chief, both his car and mine. And so far, that's just worked out to be a great asset for both of us, including a third car with Vincent Nobile.
Now, running your own engine program last year, I've heard from people who have done it that it is a taxing, overwhelming venture. You came out of the box last year, went to the final at the Winter Nationals, but it seems like, from everyone that I talked to, that the 500 cubic inch pro stock package is just so difficult to wrap your arms around. This year, getting together with AJ, somebody who seems like got the Mopar program figured out. Of course, he's the reigning Mellow Yellow World Champion. The two powers of your driving ability coming together with their horsepower, everybody knew it was going to pay dividends, and it happened this weekend in Topeka.
Yeah, it certainly has come together, and we've had just a great start to, you know, the 13 run here, and you know, with a couple of runner-up finishes, a couple of semifinal finishes, and now surpassing the 500 round win mark in my career, and getting our first win this past weekend in Kansas was really nice. I've been very fortunate to have great teams that I've worked with and worked around, primarily family teams in my career, and you know, to be able to join some elite company, that's very special. But you know, I think the engine program, obviously we did start our own program and started it with some great people that have been extremely successful, not only with Jegs but also in the pro stock world, and just did not foresee you know, the struggles that that came before us. You know, we ended up transitioning out of that, as I mentioned, but you know, the guys have moved on. Nick Berry, one of them in particular, is working with Elite Motorsports, and they've been running extremely well with their GM side, and that is Shane Gray and Ricky Jones. So great talents, but just we just weren't able to pull that together in the time frame that we were looking to, and that's why we made the transition to get back.
And yet everything happens for a reason, and when you made the announcement that you and Alan, and you also mentioned Vincent, will be running the same power and the form of a team, so to speak, a lot of people immediately thought that you were a favorite to win that world championship, and currently right now you are sitting second in the point standings. Let's talk a little bit about your day, where first round you had to go up against Greg Stanfield, who Greg unfortunately doesn't look like he's going to be running the next race, and kind of resetting on the season. It's so tough out there. Gave you a good race, though. You were 18 on the tree and ran a 67.7. Then second round, you mentioned Ricky Jones, one of the great levers out there, actually left on you. You had a 36, he had a 14, but you're able to power around him.
You know, it was a good day. We've had some great runs, as I mentioned, all season. And after we left Atlanta, you know, had a pretty good run there going to the semifinals. You know, we knew we were going to leave Atlanta and go to Tulsa and do some testing. And I had a goal of my own from behind the wheel that I was going to work on through our testing runs that we made. And, you know, my goal was just to try and move my package, you know, challenge myself and see if I couldn't move my own package down a little bit. And looks like we were able to do that. I was really happy with the way that I drove first round. I think I set up on 18 to try and be about 18 on the tree. Second round, I set up to be 20 to 24, and then I went back to a setting where I was 10 in qualifying for the semis, and the final was 13, both of those runs. So really just trying to methodically, you know, put ourselves back in position to, you know, leave as little amount as possible on the table. And you know, second round was a great, you know, reality, because you know, you can't always hit your game perfectly, and you know, I missed a tree a little bit against Ricky, but you know, performance wise, we were able to overcome that, so it worked out well, and we moved on and powered on for the big win.
Now, Jack, I know a lot of our listeners out there are saying, what do you mean you set up on 18,000ths? We're talking about thousandths of a second. Can a driver really do that and control or try to control his own reaction time down to the thousandth? Explain that.
Yeah, I think, you know, in the bracket race world that I've grown up in, we certainly do split the hairs and prepare ourselves mentally to the thousandth of a second on reaction time, without question. I think in pro stock, we're not quite there. I think the sophistication of the clutches, the clutch pedal, the travel in the clutch pedal, and, you know, some of the other variables of staging, I think just don't lend itself to be able to split the hairs down to that fine. But I do believe, you know, we can get this thing within about a 4 to 6 thousandths window. And that's what I was just, what I mentioned, that was my goal, was to just tighten up that window just a shade. And you know what? It's not easy to do. You know, there's a lot going on, and you know, it just takes some great discipline and some good focus and a great team behind you to give you the confidence to be able to fine tune like that. And you know, we've got a lot of racing left in the 2013 season, and I'm really looking forward to our next run coming up here in Englishtown, New Jersey.
Now, each member of this team has gotten a Wally. Vincent at the Winter Nationals, Allen's picked up two of them. Now you have one. All three of you made the semifinals. And when you pop the chutes on that semi on that second round and get back to the pit area and realize there's four cars left in, three of them have the same power, and you guys are kind of looking at each other like, all right, this has got to be exactly what we had planned. That having been said, Vincent, a great lever who you had to run. You know that kid is going to come after you. And yep. He had a 003, and you were right there with the 13 and able to power by.
Yeah, no, I think I've raced Vincent maybe four times in my career, you know, last year and this year. And I think my worst tree against him has probably been around an 18, if I had to guess. And I don't think I've left first any one of the times. I think he's been 00'd just about every single time. I think he red lit once, but he's been 00 the other three times, aside from the final Pomona this year. Now I'm recollecting some more, but no, he is a very very good driver, very very consistent and quick reacting off the starting line, and knowing what's under his hood and knowing how his car runs, I know I can't give up an ounce, and I really felt like I could be 10 on the three there against him, and if I could run another 67, I felt like that would turn the win line on for us, and as it turned out, I was 13, and we ran a high 66, so that was enough to, you know, obviously power for the win line.
And then in the final, you got to go up against Allen. He's the reigning world champ. You guys both had 13 reaction times. Now, you know we have the winners here on WFO Radio, so we spoke with Allen earlier in the year, and he told us about a little, you know, I'll call it a prank he played on you the last time you guys met in the final. Tell us your perspective. He told us that you had an engine expire, and he came up to you and told you, sorry, Jag, we're all out of engines, and that you kind of had a look on your face like, oh, my goodness, and then he broke the news he was joking. What was the Jag side of that story?
I probably would have paid money to have a photo of my face because, you know, you're so intimately into the moment and preparing for, in this case, the final round at the Gator Nationals. I mean, it's one of the marquee events on the tour. I was running extremely well that day, driving well. ETs were fantastic, and really felt personally favored going into that final. And when he mentioned that we're all out of engines, I knew there were, you know, he had changed motors, Vincent had changed motors, and I'd actually changed another motor before Sunday. And I thought for about a split second, I'm like, oh my God, there's no way. And, you know, obviously it dawned on me he was just kidding. So, because he could tell by my reaction, I was like, taking the bait on that one. But, you know, and that's, it's a fun deal. You know, we have a great relationship, on and off the racetrack, Alan and I, and have for years. And that's been a big, big, asset to us being able to put this thing together and, immediately, challenge for round and race wins. So, I think we've got a great future ahead of us, and I'm sure there was. I think there was. He brought that point up again going into the final. Obviously, we weren't changing motors for that run, but we were joking about something else, and onward we went.
He's definitely got you in a on your back foot when it comes to the chop busting.
Yes, no doubt. He's as witty as they come, and we have a good time together, definitely.
Now, finally, 500-round wins, Jag. That is a milestone. I believe only 12 drivers have done it. It is huge. You've done it pretty quickly, all things considered. As someone who has 5 world championship, 4 in pro stock, 1 in super gas, won the U.S. Nationals, done so much in this sport, what about that milestone? How do you feel about it?
I think it's a very, it's a milestone that you don't really set your goals out to do. And quite frankly, I knew we were, racking some round ones up throughout the career, but I think it's just a testament to the teams that we've all worked with for over the years. My family team, we've just had great equipment and great folks behind us, led by my father, Jag, and my brothers, John, Troy, and Mike, and it was just, it's been special, to say the least. And it didn't really sink in until after I'd won that second round at Topeka and was kind of sitting in the motor coach, and my phone was lighting up, and I was kind of taking a look at them, and I think, I don't recall who, but mentioned a handful of the people that were on this list, and I think at that point in time it kind of sunk in to say, we've been very fortunate and turned a lot of wind lights on.
That is for sure. Jag, thank you so much for coming on the show. Appreciate it. Next race out, Englishtown. That is a track that everybody wants to win at.
Yeah, no doubt. Englishtown, again, one of those marquee events on the NHRA Tour, and the fans there are really, really come out in full force. They love their NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing, and we want nothing more than to put on a fantastic show for them.
Jag, thank you so much. Appreciate coming on the show. Congratulations.
My pleasure. Thank you, Joe.
Jag Coughlin Jr. with us here on WFO Radio. 53rd career win in pro stock. Absolutely massive. Jaggy going out there, getting it done. Over 500 round wins. Well, that's going to do it, folks. What a show it has been. Jag Coughlin Jr., Johnny Gray, Rob Wendland. He even asked me a question. Of course, Sean Langdon. Lots going on, and we started it all off with the birthday boy, Alan Reinhardt. If you're a first-time listener and you want to pass the word about the show, well, we'd really appreciate that. You can follow us on Twitter, WFO Radio, WFO Radio Nitro, and my personal account, WFO Joe. Of course, like us on Facebook, but most importantly, you can download the application for iPhone and Android, also for iPad. You can gift it to your friends. Hey, buddy, you're going to like this. Check it out. I'm going to gift it to you. And that's a great way to spread the word of the show. In Topeka, I had so many people come up and say they'd listen to the show, they love the show, but way more people did not come up to me. And so I can only assume we still got a lot of room to grow. A lot of room to grow with NHRA fans out there. But boy, were the Topeka fans so passionate about this sport. They were loving it. They were watching Jack Beckman pack his parachutes. They were hanging out. It was a great time. And if you want to come to an NHRA national event, well, the next one I'll be at is Englishtown, New Jersey, Raceway Park. Almost did the Laughing Mouse, but we'll save that for next week. Very much looking forward to that. Also, you can check out the Ford Thunder Valley Nationals right on the front page of WFORadio.com. Click that banner ad. Get out there for Father's Day. We've got some big things coming up and very happy. The show is going and growing and moving and grooving. And I want to thank all of you out there for listening all the way through to this point. I also want to thank the Budget Rent-A-Car people for giving me a Mustang 5.0 that I got to hot rod around Topeka for 4 straight days. Of course, I was well within the confines of the law. I would never think of disrespecting Kansas and speeding. But I did enjoy the car, and I got a lot of looks, a lot of people with thumbs up and A-OK and girls giving me the look, and a good time was had. And I would tell all of them, it's like, you can have this car too. It's for rent at Budget. Go check it out, which I thought was great. But a big time was had. Met a lot of new people. Scott Palmer and Ashley Fye had a good time. Got to talk with Luigi Novelli. Met people in the campground over Twitter, but we didn't meet up officially. Lots of cool things were happening in Kansas. Let's keep the ball rolling. Remember, you can send questions for Alan Reinhardt, 954-889-6796. If you download the app and enable push notifications, I will send you out a message every once in a while that says, hey, call in your questions. And maybe it'll be for a driver. Big things happening here on WFO Radio. Don't forget, we got our Ignition show as well, which is NASCAR, the Indy 500, Formula One this week. It's a huge weekend in racing coming up, and I'm looking forward to it. Big thanks, Johnny Gray and Rob Wendland. Big thanks, Sean Lang. Big thanks, Jed Coughlin. And a big thanks to Alan Reinhart. Happy birthday, AR. Way to go, Alan Reinhart. Good guy leading us off every week here on WFO Radio. Well, that's going to do it, and we'll see you next time right here on WFO Radio.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
I love WFO Radio.